Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
DiVincenzo fires up a three. Ball tipped and deflected, and Hart comes up with another offensive rebound for the Knicks. Oh, he's the and Anobi drives down and throws it down, and the foul! Brunson will inbound, and Obi gets it, hands it back to Brunson. Under a minute remaining. Brunson goes inside, foul from behind. Shot is good, and one! Jalen Brunson, the gift that keeps on giving! Brunson double-team right away. Hart has it. Gives it right back to Brunson. Brunson drives. Kicks it up top to Hart. Hart puts up a three. Bang! Josh Hart from downtown! And the Knicks lead by three. Timeout Philadelphia! Batum will inbound, but Maxey's also going to look to get in the shooting motion right away. Batum looks, has Buddy Hield. Hield launches it up. The shot is up. No good. Hart has it. Dribbles it out. And the Knicks win. The Knicks advance to the second round. Eliminate the Sixers in six games.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I know it's corny, but we gotta do it. McMonagle here with you on this Friday morning. A damn good Friday morning. As the New York Knicks are moving on. And this roller coaster of a series finally comes to an end. Knicks in six. They'll look to take on the Pacers next in a wild ride. And let's go, Knicks fans. It's me and you, 877-337-6666. We got Fliegelman on the other side. Me and him were here. We got here at 9 o'clock. We're in the back, one of the back offices watching the game. And what a game it was. And just an unbelievable, I mean, there's really not even much to say other than, I mean, just your nerves are at their ends. You can't handle what's gone on in this series. I mean, this series, it was short everything but a seventh game, and thankfully, I don't know if anybody would have been ready for a seventh game or could have prepared for a seventh game, but I mean, not everything was difficult. Everything came down to the last second. Every single game was nip and tuck, and each single game has its own story and unique feel, and this game, my God, the Knicks come out, and we talked about it, coming off that loss, in game five, blowing a 6-point lead with 28 seconds. This was going to have to be, going into that building, it was going to have to be a good start for the New York Knicks. And you were going to have to get DiVincenzo going. We talked about that. And that's exactly what happens. They come out on fire. The Knicks come out on fire, take it right to Philadelphia, who early on you could see, and we talked about this too, early on, you could see whether Embiid was going to be the guy who couldn't move, like we saw in Game 5, or if it was going to be different. And early on, it was different. And Maxey wasn't involved. Embiid was running the offense. But it didn't matter. The Knicks absolutely blew them away. DiVincenzo starts hitting threes. They're playing the exact kind of basketball you want to see. Brunson gets the first shot of the game, but that was the end of the hero ball. They're moving around. He's getting double-teamed. They're passing the ball. He's trusting his teammates. They're hitting big shots. And Anobi is getting his own basket, hitting big shots. And they build a 22-point lead in the first quarter. And, you know it's not. You might think for a half a second, wow, the Knicks are going to run these guys right out the gym. And then you know that's not going to happen. You know that's never going to happen. But you did not expect the second quarter that the Knicks gave you. An absolute disaster of a second quarter where they're outscored 32-15 and have a 22-point lead not only vanish, and not only vanish in the first half, but you are trailing. And Fleeks gave me a statistic. It is the first time in 25 years in the NBA playoffs that a team was down 20-plus points in the first half and led at halftime. I mean, just the first half alone. And obviously it's the Buddy Hield, and that was what you were afraid of. Buddy Hield, who did absolutely nothing in this series. I wasn't even sure he was still on the team. Our former program director, now obviously WIP afternoon drive host, Spike Eskin is tweeting out, Buddy Hield can never see the floor again in a Philadelphia uniform. The second that tweet was delivered, he goes out there and shoots the lights out and practically single-handedly brings the Sixers back into this game and overrun the Knicks. And their offense was completely discombobulated. DiVincenzo stopped getting the ball. They were bad turnovers. Embiid was just at will, taking Hartenstein to the basket. I mean, just at will. And that first half alone is crazy enough. But then you get to the end of this game. The Knicks rally from that three-point deficit at halftime after all the nonsense, after everything that went on. And this team, I mean, what can you say? They overcome every single obstacle. They don't make it easy. Just look at their free throw percentage. Can you hit some big free throws down the stretch? And finally, they do. Finally, Brunson and DiVincenzo do hit some big foul shots down the stretch. But, I mean, time and time again, Brunson's given Philadelphia free chicken, if you can believe that's a selling card. And God knows they need to sell tickets down in Philadelphia. But if you think of everything this team has overcome, and I was just talking with Marco as I'm walking in, and I'm kind of all over the place. My emotions, I'm screaming, I'm yelling, the game just ended. I'm pumped like you are, and we're going to get to your phone calls early here, 877-337-6666. I'm going to get to you early because this is your night. It's not just my night. We don't need to hear me ramble on for 20 minutes. Tonight is everyone's night, bro. Tonight is all your nights, bro. You don't need to hear me ramble. We just watched the game, but I got to give a little bit. But we're going to get to the phone calls right now. But everything this team has overcome, the way they bounce back after that pitiful performance in the end of that game, and then to blow away and absolutely just give away a 22-point lead in the first half, you figure they're dead. I have to admit, I had my doubts. I'm sitting there going, well, I mean, listen, I didn't think they would have a problem getting, you know, back from that devastating loss. And sure enough, they did. But now this game is completely tilted. Embiid looks as good as he's looked the entire series. Hartenstein can't stop him. And Mitchell Robinson, when he plays, can't get a basket. He's under the basket by himself looking to pass it. Go up and dunk it, Mitch. No bench. No Achiuwa, no anybody. DiVincenzo played, did he play every minute of this game? Yes. DiVincenzo plays all 48 minutes. Anunoby plays 45 minutes. Brunson plays 44 minutes. Josh Hart plays 46 minutes. They bring in nobody into this game. I mean, it's just, but everything they overcome, and to rally back and to find yourselves down 10 points at one point after leading by 22, and to still come back, make the plays, completely take Maxey out of this game. I mean, we went into this game thinking about, hey, they got to take out Maxey. You live with Embiid. He looks hobbled. You got to take out Maxey. Maxey scores 17 points in this game, 1-for-6 from downtown, 4-for-4 from the free throw line, 6-for-18 from the field. Really didn't play a major role until late with the layup and the goaltending call. Really didn't play much of a factor in this game. Obviously, Buddy Hield and me and Fleece are talking about it. We were fearful that we were going to be talking about the Buddy Hield game forever. I mean, he comes in and just starts throwing daggers after not being anything in this series. And then obviously Batum hits three threes. Like it was everybody else. Oubre scored 17 points in this game. It was everybody else, but this Knick team keeps coming back and keeps fighting back. And despite all the different things that went wrong in this game, in the big moments, for every game except Game 5, the Knicks are there to make the plays. And Brunson, down the stretch of this game, has that sequence where he hits back the step-back three and then the three back-to-back. He has the six straight points. The dunk, as you heard in the highlights, by Anunoby, passing up the three and going to the basket and slamming it down. And, of course, end one and missing the foul shot, which is a storyline in this game. We'll get to it all. But Jalen Brunson down the stretch, Anunoby down the stretch, and then, of course, Mr. Afraid to Shoot, Mr. at times in this game going to the basket, looking timid, even going to the basket. Had a couple of shots earlier in the game that were important, but to have Josh Hart, who they left wide open because you knew they were going to try, that was a shot Philadelphia was comfortable with, tied up. And after that brutal call on the goaltending, which I don't know, I was screaming and going nuts. I got to watch it again. Does his fingertips just barely touch it after the backboard? I guess it's overturned. They tie the game after the foul shot. And the biggest possession of the year, as Mike Breen called it, the biggest possession of this series ends with a wide open Josh Hart for three, and he nails it. And then they play the foul game down the stretch. But ultimately, what a performance by these Knicks. And to overcome everything they've overcome all year, to overcome the terrible loss of last of Game 5, and then to overcome blowing a 22-point lead, to still be the better team down the stretch, to still be the more efficient team down the stretch, to still be the team that makes the shots, makes the plays. They are tough. They are smart. They are well-coached. Yes, they are well-coached. And this team, right now, I feel like can accomplish anything. What a win. What a great series. We have 5 hours to break down every angle of this game. I want to get to you. I want to get to the fans right now. We'll break down all the different plays. You'll bring them up. I'll bring them up. We'll talk about all the different things in this game. But the game just ended. And if you are one of the lucky few who are in Philadelphia, call me up. Whatever you're doing, at the bar, at your buddy's house, watching with your pops, whatever you're doing, call me up. Let's talk about an incredible win. Let's talk about a great series and how the story isn't how the Knicks blew their one chance to wrap this series up in Game 5 and how they overcome blowing a lead and that there's nothing and nothing. And as I said, I was talking with Marco, there is nothing this team can't convince themselves they can overcome. Because as much as it sucked to watch that game on Tuesday night and watch them blow Game 5, and as much and as frustrated as we all were watching them blow a 22-point lead, watching them play down the stretch of this game, watching them take it to an Embiid who looked like the MVP, watching Brunson hit those shots in the fourth quarter, watching the defense they played, watching Anunoby take it to the rack, watching Josh Hart hit that three-pointer, and watching this team finish off this game, maybe everything needed to happen so that we could get to a point where nothing will shake this team. Nothing. And moving forward, there's no reason why they can't beat the Pacers, and there's no reason they can't beat the Celtics. Let's go, Knicks. 877-337-6666. Let's get to your calls. Mike, out in the parking lot in Wells Fargo. What's up? You at the game.
What's up, C-Man?
What's going on?
Trying to pull out of this gosh darn parking lot.
That's all right. Soak it in. Soak it in. Soak in your surroundings. Look at all the miserable people leaving.
I brought my son to his first playoff game.
Oh.
Hey, say hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Hello,
you lucky son of a gun. Look at you. Your first game ever. Congratulations. Good for you, Dad.
Exactly. Great playoff game. Thanks for everything, C-Mac.
All right. Good luck pulling out of there, I suppose. Maybe, you know, if you guys want to give me a little bit more than that, that's fine. I'm open to, like, a little bit more than just, we're in the parking lot, my son's first game. Thank you for everything. You're welcome for everything. Sal in Staten Island, what's up, Sal?
Oh, C-Mac, I'm going to give you more, C-Mac. I am fired up right now. This is awesome. This is awesome, C-Mac. We didn't have a sliver of momentum in that second quarter, in that third quarter. The tide started turning, and in the fourth quarter, you just watched Jalen Brunson every big shot.
Jalen Brunson, as bad as he was in the final 5 minutes in the overtime of Game 5, he was great down the stretch. I did think he threw away a ball. Even the bad pass to DiVincenzo that goes out of bounds down the stretch, I blame DiVincenzo. What are you doing cutting to the basket? You're going to be open for three. He's picked up his dribble at the foul line. What are you going to do cut to the basket? Sit there and wait for that pass. I thought even that wasn't his fault. He was great down the stretch. He missed a big foul shot off the end one, which bothered me, and he missed four foul shots in this game, and their foul shooting is brutal. But ultimately, you're right. Down the stretch of this game, he does hit the two foul shots at the end of the game. He comes through with every big spot. He gets to the basket. He hit those mid-range floaters. And that end one, I know we just talked about how he missed the foul shot. He's got two guys draped on him. Somehow, even though he's got the dribble picked up, he figures out a way to split them and get that shot off. What an incredible shot. That shot, the 2 3-pointers he hit in succession to give them an 8-point lead. And listen, they blow the 8-point lead, which is frustrating. I mean, and I'll give it to the Sixers, man. They don't quit. They don't give up. They're down 8 points after that dunk. Anunoby misses the foul shot. They come down and hit a three, and suddenly it's a 5-point game, and they're right back in it. I mean, everything was hard fought. Nothing was easy, and yet they figured out a way to be the better team 4 times out of 6. And it's just, I cannot wait for the next series, especially being at the Indiana Pacers. It's going to give me all kinds of 90s Knicks feels. I'm looking forward to it. But this team last night, Brunson, their superstar, was incredible down the stretch. Incredible.
Yeah. And one other thing. I mean, Josh Hart, this whole game looks lost. He comes in the fourth quarter, hits that huge shot. It looked like he had no interest in shooting the ball.
He looks for DiVincenzo. And then he's just, I'm so wide open, I have to take the shot. And at least he shot it with confidence, because if you look, and thank you for the call, Sal. Early on in the game, he hit a couple shots, if my memory serves me right. He was part of that early offense that built that 22-point lead. Then he started to look timid, and we've seen him look timid with shots before. And I remember one in particular. He goes down the lane and pulls up from 4 feet, and it just looks like he didn't want to shoot it, but said, "What else? You know, this is what I'm supposed to do." He looked timid. He looked afraid. He looked all kinds of wrong. And I didn't want the ball in his hands. I got to be honest. And Philadelphia had no problem having him take that shot. You could see they are so quick. That defender didn't give him a second. They moved right to DiVincenzo. They left him wide open at the top of the key. I mean, corner threes, top of the key, that's what you're looking for. And he's wide open at the top of the key. And I'll give him credit. He looked confident, and he hits the biggest shot of his life and the biggest shot of that game and sends the Knicks. I mean, from there on, it's playing the foul shot game. The Knicks hit their shots. I thought they fouled Maxey a little early on that first one. Only took a second off the clock. It didn't really feel like they benefited from it. But off of what happened in Game 5, if he gets past that first defender, he could be putting up a shot before you know it, and that couldn't have happened again. Even if it was a miracle shot, you can't allow Maxey to hit a shot. I don't care from where, the logo, half court. If he puts it up and it goes in, you can't live with yourself. So they foul him probably a little bit early. They hit their foul shots. They foul him again. And then ultimately the final shot by Hield goes off the backboard. Knicks win. But so many key plays down the stretch. I love the Anunoby play. He passes up that three and goes right to the basket. And how many times have we seen, you know, guys go to the basket and there's contact and they get the foul line, but they don't go up strong. We've seen block shots. We've seen missed layups. We saw DiVincenzo try and do multiple, you know, reverse layups underneath the basket instead of just going strong and taking on Embiid straight up. And if he blocks your shot or he fouls you, at least you are physical with him. And we talked about that yesterday too. And at least they did that. on that play, and he took and he missed a dunk earlier in the game, a wide open dunk, Ananobi. But he was able to create his own shot in the beginning part of the game. He hit a couple of big time threes right on the Sixers bench. That big one, I think, tied the game at one point. And then that dunk to put them up eight, I thought sealed it. And yet Philadelphia continues to come back and tie the game. But the Knicks make the big shot. The Knicks make it the big possession. And the Knicks figure out a way to get off the deck and win this game. It's an incredible performance. Spencer in Milford. What's up, Spencer? You were at the game tonight?
Yes, sir. How we doing?
Good. It didn't sound the same way it sounded for game four, but still a lot of Knicks fans. It sounded like, you know, there was a battle between the two fan bases out in the crowd. What was it like being a Knicks fan? I'm assuming. I doubt you're calling me as a Sixers fan. So what was it like being a Knicks fan out in that building, in that crowd last night?
I got to be honest with you, bro. I don't know if there's any, like, real Sixers fans. They faded pretty quick. They threatened violence. They didn't follow through.
I'm glad you're okay.
We're good. I mean, they're actually really nice, to be honest with you. But we buried them. You know, like, we watched them break. It was heart-wrenching for everyone, but we broke them. Josh Hart broke them. Hustle broke them.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
They didn't want Game 7. They did not want Game 7. I promise you that.
You know what? I got to be honest with you, man, Spencer. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I'm gonna have a hard time knocking the Sixers after this game. They're down 22 points in the first quarter. They're leading by three at the half. They're down 8 points with what? Let me get the exact time. A few minutes left? They're down 8 points after that dunk from Ananobi. And they come back and tie the game. 2:43 left in the game. Ananobi goes to the lane, throws it down, takes an 8-point lead. And they battle back. I have no problem killing the Sixers. I've been calling them mentally soft this entire series. I have a tough time calling them mentally soft after this one. One, Embiid showed up and played as good a game. I know he didn't get as many points as he did in Game 3. He was brilliant in this game. And he took Hartenstein to the basket anytime he wanted. Hartenstein had no chance. And I thought he was on the floor too much. I understand the offense he gives you. I do. Early on, he was hitting those floaters. He had, 14 points in the game? He played relatively well. But there were stretches of this game where their offense was a little bit in a funk, and they were just giving easy baskets to Embiid because he can't stop him. Embiid even hit pounded him into the paint, put up the layup for the sixth time in a row, and then gave the too small to guard me. I thought Tibbs was really late in adjusting to getting him off the floor because Embiid just had his way with him. And while Maxey didn't do anything, they had other guys step up. I'm sorry, they hit a shot. Josh Hart hit a shot. I'm not going to kill this. I think today, let's talk about what an incredible series it was. What an incredible back and forth. I think nobody quit, and I think nobody broke. I think the Knicks just were better down the stretch and hit the big shot. Josh Hart hit the shot. They were playing off him and leaving him wide open the entire series, and they did it in the final moments of the biggest game, and Hart came through. But I think you got to give credit to the Sixers. I thought they played their hearts out. I thought they played a great game. Other than Maxey not really finding himself, I thought the bench players played as well as they could play. The role players played as well as they can play. Embiid was unbelievable in the game. And they came back from 22 points within the first half. And then they were down with 2.5 minutes left, down 8, and worked their way back to a tie game. This is about the Knicks much more. Much more. And we weren't sure how that was going to be. I'll be honest with you. I think it's fair at different parts of the series. Certainly at the end of game two, necessarily. But it could have been. This could have been a series and a game. Talking about, and especially the way besides game five, the Knicks have always been better at the end of games. If they finish off game five the way they did, we could have that talking point about Philadelphia and, you know, the folding and what the history of that team and the history of Embiid in the playoffs. And that could have been a major talking point. But after they got off the deck and won game five, and then the multitude of ways they came back in this game, this is much more about the resiliency of our New York Knicks than it is the folding nature of the 76ers. This is about the Knicks. They went out and took this game. Game two might have been handed to them. That's fine. And they handed Philadelphia game five. The Knicks took this game. Manny in Hell's Kitchen. What's up, Manny?
Yo, listen, I'm a Brooklyn fan, but I got to give my flowers up to the Knicks. Listen, celebrate, my guys. I don't see any reason why you can't go to the end. You guys are going to beat the Cavs, the Miami, the Orlando Magic, the Celtics. Nobody got anything on these Knicks. These Knicks are Cinderella. These Knicks are going to win it all. Salute to you guys. Celebrate. It's over. Also, salute to my boy down in Fort Lauderdale, John Wiener. Salute to you. I know this is your team. Let's go. It's over.
Let's go. It's over. Let's go, Knicks fans. What a series. I mean, if you just think about the roller coaster that was this series, it's about as intense. And let's be fair. I was sitting there with Fliegelman. He's like, I'm not used to this. My teams don't make the playoffs. And specifically, let's just talk about the Knicks. It's been a long time. I understand, you know, last year, they've been in the playoffs a handful of times over the last couple of years. They had the disastrous series of Atlanta. Then they pretty much roll and out-tough, especially the bigs of Cleveland in that first-round series and just beat up Cleveland. It was never a series. And then they were out-toughed and out-hustled and, you know, out-cultured, because the Heat have that culture, you know, by Miami in that second round last year. This was the first time that they were in a heavyweight fight. I know they're up 3-1 at one point in the series, and they're up 2-0 at one point in the series, but every single game was a knock-em-out, drag-em-out fight. And ultimately, they're not more talented than the 76ers. They're not. I think you could argue they're just as talented, but Embiid is an MVP, and he showed it. I mean, his ability to shoot, he's incredible at the foul line for a big man. Just, he's an incredible player. He hit that one with time expiring in the second quarter, or it might have even been in the third quarter, where he was almost as far as Maxey was in the game tire the other night. And I'm just like, well, if he's going to hit that, how are the Knicks going to win this game? And yet they rally back. They continue to fight. I'm watching the Villanova 3 at the press conference right now. I mean, this is as good as it gets. And this series was as intense, and you'll love it, man. You got to live for this stuff. It's sickening. It's hard to go to sleep the other night. It's going to be hard to go to sleep tonight. Probably a little bit easier, but it was hard to sleep the other night. It was hard to get through your day knowing the Knicks blew that chance to finish the series. But today felt special all day long, waiting for this game and watching it, watching the roller coaster. Up 22, down 10, up 8. Tie game, missed foul shots, missed dunks, enormous threes, big time plays, like everything. Massive dunks. Embiid taking it to the lane with will. You know, a player in Hield who had nothing to do with this series, the entire run of it, suddenly comes through and changes the entire game within a few minutes. I mean, this series had everything. This was the most fun series the Knicks and their fans have had in forever. And I'm enjoying it. And we're going to enjoy it all morning long. 877-337-6666. Like I said, we'll get to all the different things. I know I kind of just rushed through that open. I wanted to get to you. We'll get to all the different plays. Call me up. What was your turning point? What's your favorite moment, not only of this game, but of this series? And we'll start as we get later into the morning to look into this series against the Pacers, who finished off the Bucks earlier in the night. And the Knicks and Pacers at it again in the postseason. And for me, I know last year there's a lot of talk about Miami. And I understand Hardaway, Alonzo Mourning, those battles going back. But for me, I will always remember Knicks-Pacers. That will always be my enemy. That will always be the series that I would get up for the most. Those were the series I hated the players the most. I hated Rick Smits. I hated Reggie Miller. I hated all the Davises. I hated everybody. Knicks, Pacers. After they just finished off the Sixers in one of the most just gut-wrenching, heart-exhilarating six-game series you'll ever see.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Anyway, I just don't want to do any more work. I've worked for 64 years, and in July I'll be 86. So, you know, let's face it, my time has come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:37 on this magical Friday morning. I don't know. I mean, this is just for a moment of you know, selfishness. I mean, this is what I dreamed of when I got this job. Moments like this, right after this Knick game, coming on here, talking to you, getting all pumped up about winning a series. I mean, I just, when the Yankees win the World Series, it's going to be awesome, too. This is going to be a great year. But right now, I mean, I am just elated with our New York Knicks and the way they've played and how tough they are and what they've overcome and how they do it, how they go about doing their business. And you want to hear a couple of stats? Fleeks just gave me a couple of Jordan-related stats as we talk about who superstars are and the way Jalen Brunson has ended this series, considering the way he opened it. Let's be fair, opened it with two bad games, and yet the Knicks were able to win it. But how did Jalen Brunson finish? Jordan-esque. That's how he finished. Let's go through a couple of stats about our man Jalen Brunson. He is the first player since Michael Jordan in 1993 to have four consecutive 37-point games in the playoffs. First player since Michael Jordan in 1993. He is the first player since Michael Jordan in 1989 against Cleveland in that famous series that ended with the famous shot over Eloy, to finish out a series, to close out a series with three straight 40-point games. He had a bad 5 minutes in overtime, no doubt about it. He tried to play hero ball. He played iso ball. He didn't trust his teammates, and he threw the ball away a couple times. But besides those 5 minutes, Jalen Brunson has been everything we've been trying to tell the rest of the NBA world he is. He is an absolute superstar, and he has changed everything. Everything. He has changed who he is. He has changed who this Knick team is. He has changed how we feel as fans about this Knick team and this franchise. He has changed everything. And he has come through the last four games with at least 37 points. No one's done it since Jordan. And the last three games with 40 points. And he was the key factor. He did not hit the biggest shot at the end of the game. That belongs to Josh Hart. He did not even maybe have the highlight of the game, which probably belongs to OG Anunoby with that dunk. But make no mistake about it, in the fourth quarter, he hit every big shot other than a couple of free throws, which, again, moving forward, Knicks, Tibbs, get them at the foul line. They don't leave the gym until they hit 20 free throws in a row. That's it. And I'm being kind with 20. Everybody takes 100, and you can't leave until you hit 20 in a row. That's it. My God, hit your foul shots. But other than that, just a phenomenal series and a great game. And Brunson down the stretch. And yeah, someone tweeted at me, and it's fair. I've been praising Embiid. I did think he was great in this game. But he did go missing down the stretch. And once they got into it where they needed the three late in the game, I know they give him the basket, but he looked, you know, he didn't want to be aggressive there. I towards the end of the game, he didn't. What was the exact stat the guy gave me on Twitter? Hold on 1 second. 4 points in the final 6.5 minutes, and one of them was the basket they literally let him have. But he was carrying, I thought he was great in the game. He was unstoppable getting to the basket. He gets to the free throw line at will. I know it's not about Embiid, but just for a second, because I don't want to diminish what the Knicks have done here by saying the Philadelphia 76ers are choke artists. Because yes, they blew game two, but besides that, the Knicks earned every single bit of this. Because the Sixers went nowhere. The Sixers went absolutely nowhere. They battled back every single time. They're down 22 points in the first quarter. They're leading at halftime. I'm sorry. That's not a soft team. I've been calling them a soft team the entire series. They weren't soft. They blew it down the stretch, I suppose. The Knicks were better down the stretch. In 2.5 minutes, they're down 8 points. They come back and tie the game. This is not the 76ers, what a disaster franchise, and it was destined to happen. The Knicks grabbed this with both hands. The Knicks took this away from the 76ers. Jalen Brunson took this away from Philadelphia. And as he had that N1 basket staring up at his banner, and I noticed it as it happened, and I suppose, you know, I'm doing the show now. He's talking about it in the postgame. And maybe we'll get a couple of postgame highlights play as we go through the morning here. I guess he talked about the banner. I'm seeing on Twitter as their Villanova championship banner hangs in that building, because that's the Villanova, that's where they play their home games. So that's a building he's very comfortable in, and a building that holds up one banner of his championships, and he was great down the stretch. He was incredible. And we'll see how they move forward. We'll see if things change. We'll see if the strategy change. We'll see if Tibbs goes to a little bit more of a bench against a different team and a younger team that can score a lot of points and kind of run a little bit more. Then I know Maxey can get to the basket and run, but ultimately they have Embiid that slows things down. I mean, you know, you're gonna deal with a younger, faster team that can put up a lot of points. Do they? And then coming off this incredible series, do you force yourself, if you're Tibbs, to play a little bit more of the bench? We'll see if the strategy changes. But I don't care. I don't care. Achiuwa didn't play. I don't care. They only rolled seven deep in this game. I don't care. They won. And they finished off this incredible series. Zach in Pennsylvania, what's up, Zach?
Yo, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you? You sound pumped.
Yeah, bro, it was a crazy game, crazy series also.
Yes.
Yeah, bro, I have 2 points to make.
Please do.
One is, good thing we're done with that Embiid, bro. The whole series, he was just choking and cheating and calls and everything. Out of hand.
Well, listen, first of all, it's not him, and it's not just Philadelphia either. I am so tired. If I see one more time a player turn around to the bench and tell them to review it, it's every single stinking play. And yes, Philadelphia did it more than most, and sure, as Knicks fans, it bothers us more when Philly does it. But they're complaining about every foul. Some of the fouls in this game, I mean, that they challenged, I mean, Hartenstein gets absolutely smacked in the face. He's bleeding. Bitch, the referees are looking at the foul, and he's got a cotton swab stuck up his nose to stop a nosebleed. I'm like, what are we doing here? Every single call, every single call is challenged. Every single play, someone's turning around, giving the signal to look at the replay. It's ridiculous. It was getting freaking annoying. But yes, Embiid was dirty in the series, no doubt. But I do have to, he's hobbled, and I do have to give him some credit. I think now that it's over and we've made it through, I think you can look back and say, yes, dirty player. Yes, he pulled down Mitchell Robinson in is about as dirty a play as you can have. He stepped on Hart. He, you know, he's no doubt that is absolutely true. But you can also take a look and go, this man was hobbled and he scored 50 points. And last night he was scoring at will and able to get off the deck. Like, I do have to appreciate the talent on some level.
Yeah, that's right. And also, one thing, quick random question. What do you think the Knicks will look like now, this whole series, the whole playoff run with Julius Randle in there?
Well, Julius Randle won't be in there, so I don't know what they'll look. And I'm not sure if that was just a joke or a trying to catch me. I don't Julius Randle's not going to be playing, so I don't know what they'll look like. We'll have to wait for next year. But what they're going to look like in this next series, I don't know. But I can tell you right now, the favorite. I wonder, is the line out yet? Let's check that out real quick. I'll take a call, but I'm curious what the line is. I'm sure they're favored in the series. It's going to be at Madison Square Garden. They're going to have the home court advantage. That's what they've bought themselves by being the two seed. They've made it through the tougher team, in my opinion. I understand. Now you look at the Pacers differently, to be fair. At that last game of the year when they're playing the Bulls, and at least I did, if you're being fair with yourself, maybe you didn't, I don't know, I did. I had that dichotomy in my mind, do you lose and have the easier first-round series? Like, we've discussed it, that's how I felt at the time. It doesn't matter. They beat the team that I deemed to be the tougher opponent, but that's not the same Pacers team. That was a young, inexperienced team, and even without the stars in Milwaukee, I get it, without Giannis, without Dame, but now they are an experienced team. They've made it through a first-round series. They know they've gotten their taste of playoff basketball. I still expect the Knicks to be favored, and I still expect the Knicks to win. And I do believe it's a series the Knicks can't lose. Now it's a disappointing series. Now they can't lose this series. It's going to be a major disappointment. Jack and Secaucus, what's up, Jack? Ain't that a fact, Jack? You there? Jack got on the train at Secaucus.
Oh, hey there.
Change it. Yeah, hello?
Oh, hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What's up?
Oh, awesome. Well, hey, sorry about that. I'm actually underneath MSG right now on a train going back to Jersey as we speak.
Gotcha.
First of all, I was in the city tonight. Energy was electric. Dapping up Knicks fans as we were walking to the train, and it was a good time to be in New York.
I believe it. Where were you? You were at, where were you? What part of the city were you at? You at a bar?
I was at a bar in Midtown, actually. But usually I like to go to Mustang Harry's, but didn't make it there tonight. But.
Mm-hmm. The Knicks are minus 300 to win the series.
I have a good feeling about them at home, so I think they'll bring the energy and keep the energy going. You know, they traveled, they went to Philly. I think they'll go to Indy, and they'll keep the energy in MSG for sure.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so, Jack. So what was it like out at in the city?
Oh, man, it was back and forth. I mean, it was nerve-wracking seeing some of the shots that were going down for Philly, but I can't lie. I mean, Knicks answered every single time. And I called in after Game 5, and I was pretty upset about, like, the supporting cast for Jalen Brunson because, yeah, he made some questionable calls down in the stretch, but I think he still had a lights-out performance in Game 5 and then a lights-out performance again in Game 6. And the difference tonight was, you know, DiVincenzo, 22 points or 21 points, over 20 points. I mean, you love to see that. And then I think the play of the game was Ananobi's dunk and then Josh Hart's three to close out.
So no doubt. I wish that dunk was more of the play of the game because I can't believe they came back and tied it. He does miss the free throw. And their free throws are just, you know, they've got to be far better. I believe he said only one. I think Breen said at one point, only one team this entire postseason has shot a worse percentage from the foul line than the Knicks. And they were at 75% in this game. The Sixers were at 95%. And on both N1s down the stretch, the Knicks missed. Brunson gets the N1, misses the three, misses the foul shot, and then that dunk from Ananobi, and he misses the foul shot. You can't miss those shots down the stretch of these games. But, yeah. And I thought, I totally agree with you. DiVincenzo in this game was a major factor early on. He needed to come out and hit some shots. And still, the streak lives. When he hits multiple three-pointers, the Knicks win. When he doesn't, the Knicks lose. And obviously, he goes 5 for 9 from three-point land in this game, scoring 23 points. He even started the game defending Maxey. And whoever was on Maxey gets credit, because Maxey was pretty much relatively shut down for this entire game. I mean, they were throwing double teams at him. They came out and made the adjustment we talked about, making sure Maxey didn't beat them. And for a long time, Embiid was the one beating them. I mean, they turned a 22-point deficit into a 10-point lead, Philadelphia. It was crazy. I didn't expect them to blow them out. I'll be honest. I never thought they were going to run them out of the gym. I never thought we'd have, you know, taken out Brunson with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I never had that scenario in my mind. I didn't think they would blow a 22-point lead before the half. I thought they would at least let that milk out a little bit before getting it close. But yeah, the way they played down the stretch, DiVincenzo was important in this game. I thought he had a terrible cut to the basket. And normally I'm in the favor of the player who cut movement. And there were a couple of possessions in that game where the Knicks just lost their way a lot in the second quarter. And then even some lazy possessions in the third quarter, not moving, not trying to do anything. But DiVincenzo makes a terrible cut to the basket. When Brunson picks up his dribble at the foul line, he's standing there to get a good look at a three, and he cuts to the basket to do what? I have no idea. And Jalen throws it to where he was standing and out of bounds in a big moment. But they overcome all this stuff. Any mistake they make, they've overcome. And these guys are just, you know, dudes and dogs. What can I tell you? Naf and Lawrence, what's up, Naf?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Epic Champions coming up the Turnpike. Beautiful, beautiful Knicks. Unbelievable. Good that they left the Phillies down there. Let's talk a minute about the next series. When the last time you remember that the Knicks going to have a player that can smug the Indiana Pacers? Do you remember Reggie Miller hitting three after three after three with a smile in his face like he's smugging the Knicks? That's what we have now. 4-5 game maximum, we're going to wipe them out.
Are you comparing Brunson to Reggie Miller?
Big player, yes.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller was with a smile in the face, putting 3 after 3 points after three.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen.
Years we don't have.
Oh, somebody. I hated Reggie Miller. Hated Reggie Miller. He was the. I hated Rick Smits. I hated the Flying Dutchman. I hated all of that. I hated those teams. Those are some of the best series, though. Like, when I look back on it and think about my childhood and my beginnings of my sports fandom, those Nick Pacer series, they'll always be the enemy to me. And I'm looking forward to this series. Just for that. Just for the nostalgia. Because of the comparisons of this team to the 90s team, plus what the Rangers are doing. Like, it just feels like it's been this 90s connection. And to go back and play the Pacers, I mean, it's just... There, to me, that will always be the enemy. The Bulls were the enemy because it wasn't a rivalry. It was foot to ass, other than 94 without Jordan. And the Heat were back and forth, no doubt. But the Pacers, man, those series were just... And just so much history with like he said, Reggie Miller, and obviously his, you know, 8 points in 9 seconds, and... His stuff with Spike Lee and all that, and the choke, all of it. It's time for a little payback. 20-plus years in the making. Brendan in Floral Park. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Shout out to Franklin Square over there.
Shout out to Franklin Square. That's right.
Hell yeah.
Floral Park, all in the same school district. We played each other at District Sports Night. I remember.
Oh, you know.
I remember going up against Floral Park, Elmont, Swanica. That's right.
I just want to give a big shout out to Jalen Brunson tonight. I mean, oh my God. I mean, I feel like for this, you know, obviously he went 13 for 27, 41 points.
41 points.
I feel like his ceiling is higher after this series. You know, it could go anywhere.
Yeah. No,
I feel like it's a big exhale.
Yep.
I feel like they got this one out of the way. Obviously, they need some bench players to come in clutch. They need DiVincenzo. I mean, look at DiVincenzo's confidence once they get the ball him going on the hoop.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it wasn't there the other game. I mean, he definitely had it. He had it last night, though. Yeah, no doubt. And Brunson, you're right. Brunson had just a brilliant game. He's 3-for-8 from three-point land. He got to the foul line 16 times, 12-for-16. He gets 12 assists. I mean, he just had a great game. He had a great game. And he's been he was special in this game. And every big shot down the stretch, those 2 3-pointers were enormous in back-to-back possessions. Back-to-back possessions, he hits the 2 threes. He hits the step-back three, and then he gets the... I think it's Anunoby who threw it to him. I can't remember who passed him the ball, but he gets that elbow three, just off the quick pass. Those 2 threes back to back. Plus, you add in the incredible body control he displays, and you got the end one on the basket where he's got the two guys and he splits the double team and goes up and somehow with the contact makes the shot. Then he can feel Oubre on his back and goes up for the shot. And he gets the foul from, like, the body control, the footwork, his court awareness, everything. Everything about Brunson. He has changed everything. It is hard to think of another player who has come to this city, not just the Knicks, has come to this city and changed everything. I mean, just changed everything. I'm trying to think. I mean, Mark Messier, right? Mark Messier comes here and kind of changes everything and gives them instant credibility off his championships in Edmonton. He kind of changed everything and brought them a championship, which clearly is still on the list, on the to-do list for Jalen Brunson. But, I mean, this has been a franchise, no joke, this has been a franchise in the dumpster for 20 plus years. And yes, they did make the playoffs and were a 4 seed without him. And that was led by Julius Randle, but it wasn't like this. And we found that out quick in a series against Atlanta. This is different. This is completely different. He's different. And I told you, I mean, I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan. I'm telling you, he has done things in this playoff series that haven't been done since Michael Jordan. That's the level of play you're getting. As bad as the first two games were, he finished off this series in spectacular fashion. And he was great in this game and made every big play. 877-337-6666. Knick fans, the phones will keep on rolling all morning long as we take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show as we celebrate the Knicks making it through the first round, taking Philadelphia on and beating them in 6, coming back from a brutal Game 5 devastating loss, coming back from blowing a 22-point lead in this game, coming back from blowing an 8-point lead with 2.5 minutes left in this game, making the big plays down the stretch, and Josh Hart hitting the 3-point dagger to send the Knicks to the second round of the NBA playoffs to take on the Indiana Pacers. All of that, we celebrate it all.